Today's podcast episode is part one of a three-part series where I actually adapt the training that I just did called The State of Remote Work, Three Keys to Unlock Your Success in an Up or Down Economy. Welcome to the Remote Work Retirement Show. I'm your host, Camille Attell, and this is the only show dedicated to remote work for semi-retirees, people leaving the workforce, and people working in retirement to help them have peace of mind that they can live how they want without the fear of running out of money. Before we get into the details of today's podcast episode, let me tell you a little bit more about the inspiration. Now, if you listened to episode 13, I gave you a little bit of the behind the scenes of a new class I was building called The State of Remote Work, Three Keys to Unlock Your Success in an Up or Down Economy. Now, if you listened to that episode, then you heard a lot of ideas and I was kind of going in and out of different concepts. I was kind of spitballing a little bit on that episode, which is why it was a bit more of the behind the scenes as I was building the class. I have since delivered the class and I thought it would be really cool to actually give you the class in an audio format in three parts. It was long. It was an hour long, so I don't want to do a whole hour long podcast. So what I'm going to do is actually take the three keys and break them into three parts. Before I get into what the three keys are and give you key number one, let me tell you exactly how I kicked off this training and set the context for today's episode. When people first come into the class, we have a little bit of getting to know each other. It takes about 10 minutes. People are logging on. I'm checking my technology, making sure people can hear me and see me okay. And I have to tell you, I was really surprised by how many people showed up early to class. It was really exciting to see folks be so excited and eager to join that they were joining me early, like when I was still trying to figure out my technology, which is a little scary when that happens. All in all, over 150 people came to the class over the course of 2 days. So we had a lot of fun. So after we get to know each other, we dig right into the slides. And the first slide I talk about is how what I'm going to show people in class can help them be more confident to get the type of remote work they want and be ready for any remote work opportunity so that they can earn the income they want and need to live a flexible lifestyle. It's a mouthful, I know, but I lay it out there because I want to make sure that people know that they're in the right place. After that, I do a little bit of housekeeping around turning off distractions and turning your phone off and staying really focused during the training. Then, for the first time ever, I went right into a quick activity. So this was literally within the first 2 minutes of class. I've never done this before, and it was a lot of fun because I like to experiment a lot, but you know, when you experiment with something and you have 150 people watching, it's a little bit scary. But I thought that this activity would go over really well, and I really wanted to give value right at the top of the training. So what it was is telling people to either pull out a piece of paper or think about this in their head and write down either one skill that they have or one task that they did that day or yesterday. Now, I wanted to do this because if you've heard me speak on this podcast before, you know that I talk a lot about skills inventories. But sometimes talking about a skills inventory, even that, while it's basic, can feel really overwhelming to people. So I wanted to break that down into this really small micro activity, which was write down just one thing, like what's one skill you have. And I gave examples of things like being organized or planning or being able to balance a checkbook or whatever it is for you. It didn't even have to be work related. And sometimes people feel blocked with their skills. So if they couldn't think of a skill, then I told them to think about a task that they did that day. So for example, maybe they went to the grocery store and bought groceries. I gave them an easy one, which was, well, they logged in to watch this training. That's an actual task. And the reason why I asked people to think about a task is if you're blocked on a skill, then thinking about a task is another way to get to the skill. Because if you think about it, if you were able to log on to the training, then you were able to get into Zoom, get on a webinar, talk in the chat, and so I could unpack all the skills that someone would need to be able to do that task successfully. They could log on to a computer. They knew how to get on Zoom. They knew how to use the chat feature, etc. So I started with that quick activity, and then I built upon that activity as we went through the training. Now, I can't remember yet if I do that in key number one or key number two, but you're going to hear it. It could be in today's episode. It could be in part two, but either way, we're going to get to it as you listen to this series. Next in the training, what I do is I set the stage for why people actually came to the training, because it's different for everyone, but I find that there are some common themes among people. So there are three main reasons that people come to any of my trainings. Number one, people come because they want to do the type of remote work they want to do, work when they want, and have more time to do what they want. It really boils down to, yes, they want to work, but they want to do it in a way where they're freed up to live the life that they want. And that can range from traveling. You know, I get a lot of people who want to travel in an RV because that's what I did. But I also get people who just want to do more hobbies, or maybe they want to start a side project, spend more time with the kids or the grandkids. And also, I get a lot of people who are caretakers and they need to work certain hours so that they can take care of a family member or a spouse or maybe even themselves. So that's the first reason that people may come to my class. The second reason that a lot of people will come is they want to earn income in new ways, but they just don't know how. So this is for people who have spent really long careers in like one field or one job title, and they know they want to do something else. They think they want to monetize something like a hobby or something else, but they just don't know. Like, they're not sure what it is. Maybe they have a lot of ideas, maybe they have no ideas, but they know they want to do something. And so that's another reason people might come to my class. And the last reason people would come would be that they are excited about doing something else. So maybe they have been noodling on a side project for a really long time. Like, maybe they want to be a writer, or they want to start some kind of coaching business, or whatever it is for them, but they haven't quite figured out what their thing is. It's kind of like number two, but it's different because they're getting really close to the idea, but they know they need, or they think they need, they're supposed to step into some kind of identity, but they don't know what it is. So these are the typical reasons that people show up. Now, it could be different for you, but most of the time people will fall into one of these things. And I tell people in the chat to tell me if it's one, two, or three, and often it's all three. All right, so moving forward in the training, after that, I introduce myself. Now, you may already know me quite well on this podcast if you've been listening, but hey, maybe you're new here. And even if you've been listening for a long time, you might not know some finer details. So I'm just going to do that now and give you a little bit more about my background. As you know, I'm Camille Attell. I am a remote career and business coach. And what's wild about saying that is I've been that now for 5 years. And sometimes it still doesn't even feel real, because I have such a strong identity around being a corporate trainer. And I talk a lot about identity. I'll do that actually in today's episode. So when I back up and I think about it, it's like, well, you know, I've always been a coach. I've been a coach for over 20 years. But calling myself a remote career and business coach, that feels new, even though it isn't. And it just shows you how strongly rooted identities can get in the way of us seeing new possibilities. So it's kind of interesting that I train this to other people, and yet even I can fall prey to these things. I'm also the founder of Remote Work School, and I also have my master's in counseling psychology. You may or may not know that. And what's interesting about that, I think it's interesting, is I actually wrote my thesis on the impact of virtual worlds and what that can do to people's psyche and well-being and mental health. And I wrote that in 2009. So I was well ahead of my time in terms of where we are today and how we are moving much more into not just working online and working on Zoom and Web 2.0, but really getting more into the metaverse and Web 3.0 and living in augmented reality. I wrote about all this stuff so long ago, so it's wild that it's happening. And I also mention it because I do sprinkle in a little bit of psychology into my trainings. I don't do full-on therapy. I'm not a licensed counselor, but I've coached many, many people. So I definitely weave that into the training because I find that it's needed for a lot of people to move past some of their blocks. Then I share a little bit more about my background, that I came out of the welfare to work program in the late 90s. So that's really where I started helping people get off of welfare, back into work, helping them get back into the workforce with resume writing, helping them interview, even down to things like how to dress for an interview and some of these other kind of basic things that a lot of people just take for granted, but actually go a really long way into opening doors for you. I then talked about how I've actually managed to get through two recessions. I got through the tech crash in 2000, made it through that, and then the crash of 2000, not crash, that's a strong word, but the recession of 2008-2009 and how I managed through that. And then I brought up the point that we may be entering a recession right now. And that's the whole point of this training, is to show people that even if we do head into a recession, even when there are economic downturns, because there always will be, everything is cyclical, how people can actually free themselves from those ebbs and flows by positioning themselves better with the three keys. That's why we're here. So I go on to tell people that I've done my whole career in corporate training and coaching, all types of varieties in just about every industry. And that in 2016, I walked away from all of that to become a full-time RVer. I did 44,000 miles in 4 years and went to 44 states, by the way. And I didn't plan that. It just kind of happened. And when I say I mean myself and my husband, Bryce. He did most of the driving. So like really 98% of the driving, because I am really terrified to drive a Class A RV. It's just not for me, but happy being a passenger. So we did that in 2016, literally reinvented ourselves with remote work, really threw ourselves into it, did 12 different types of remote jobs. Honestly, I think it's more than that now. I think I'm up to 14 in that time. And then, as you know, went on to create remote work school and do coaching, etc. Now, what you may not know, what is potentially newer for you if you've been listening to this show, is that I recently got a job. And it's a part-time job because I don't want to give up doing my business. I love my business. But I started taking my own advice on the mashup model. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, here's a snippet. The mashup model is combining a couple of different work income streams so that you can always offset one if there's an impact, right? So because we potentially are moving into a recession, I wanted to future-proof my business. And I also wanted to offset some of my expenses. So I picked up a part-time job, and it's a marketing strategist and coach. And I have to tell you, that feels even more foreign to me than calling myself a remote career coach, because I'm not formally trained in marketing. I don't have a degree in that. I don't have any other experience than working in my own business to become a marketing coach. And I'm really proud of myself actually for getting that job, because it felt out of my league. I felt unqualified. I felt all the things that people tell me they feel, like I was an imposter and, you know, I don't have the skills, and why would anyone hire me? And will I get paid, you know, the salary I need? Blah, blah, blah. All the head noise, right? All the head noise. But I did what I tell my folks to do, and that was I applied anyway. I interviewed, and surprisingly, I got the job. And then I was completely freaked out because I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. But you know what? Sometimes we know more than we think we know. And I did. And I have to tell you, I'm really excelling in that job. I'm really loving it. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that I have it. I don't know how long I'll have it, but I'm just grateful that I have that as kind of a plan B. Again, because I like to combine up these different income streams. Okay. And then I talk about More Than a Wheelin', which is my RV and travel blog that I started in 2016, which I'm rebooting. Finally have some new content on. So if you go take a look at it, you'll see some new posts. Super excited. Talk about all the jobs I've had since 2017. Everything from virtual assistant, Pinterest assistant, freelance writer, coach, course creator, so many things. I can't even wrap my head around all of it. And finally, that I've helped over 800 people since 2017 get remote jobs or start a remote business. So super fun to talk about all of that stuff. And then lastly, I know this feels like I'm going on and on about me. Trust me, in the training, I move so much faster on this. It's like awkward, so I get off of these slides as quickly as possible. But I do talk about my credibility. because I've been featured in publications like the Wall Street Journal. They did an interview on people working from their RVs. So that was in September of 2021. I've written for RV Life magazine. I've been on podcasts for the Camping World, the RV Entrepreneur, and I've spoken on numerous stages, including Rethinking Remote Work Conference and the Nomad Summit. So, okay, my goodness, way too much about me. Now let's get into the meat of the training. And remember, I'm really only going to focus on part one today, which is key number one, all around planning. And to get us started, I asked people in the training to imagine what it would feel like to work how you want so you can live how you want. And so I'm going to ask you to do that as well. Is as you're listening to this episode today, think about what does it feel like for you if you could work how you want, when you want, the hours you want, you get paid what you want? How does it feel when that allows you to live how you want? Does it feel inspiring? Hopeful? Does it feel exciting, relieving, right? Because for some people, it's just a relief that they have the income that they need to live how they want. So picture that as we move into this first key. One other thing to tell you is the other thing I mentioned is once people imagine that future, I tell them that remote work on their terms is truly the number one way to have the flexibility and freedom that people want. Other than being independently wealthy. I mean, let's get real. If you're independently wealthy, if you have all the money you need, if you have all the savings and the investments and you know, maybe you're drawing Social Security, maybe not. Well, then that's the real way to get your freedom and flexibility. But let's get real. Not a lot of people have that option. And certainly the people who came to my training weren't there because they were independently wealthy. And I like to say that remote work is the new retirement plan for a lot of people because a lot of people will need to keep working in retirement, but lots of people want to keep working in retirement because they want to continue using their skills and having purpose. And why not make money while you do it too? All right. So here are the three keys. Key number one is all around planning. It's planning to get remote work that you actually like, not just some job you have to take. Key number two is preparing to get remote work that works for you, not the other way around. And key number three is my favorite one, and it's pricing. It's pricing your salary or your service based on the value you deliver. And that one is so new for a lot of people, especially people who are used to getting, say, an annual salary, or get paid by the hour, or get paid in ways where the employer or somebody else sets the pricing, and shifting this to the person being empowered to charge their own pricing is a new concept for a lot of people. But for today, for part one, we're really only going to focus on planning, the key of planning. So what I do here is I talked about one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making as it relates to key number one. And that is that people have not planned enough for this transition to remote work. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't planning or that what they've planned doesn't work or isn't good. What I'm saying is it probably just isn't quite enough. And so what do I mean by that? Well, what I observe a lot of people doing is either jumping in with both feet, like they just throw themselves at all kinds of stuff. They jump on job boards. They're asking everyone in Facebook groups or asking their friends and family for ideas and all that. And so what happens is they really just overwhelm themselves with information, and that tends to stop people in their tracks. Or the opposite, which is they do nothing because they want to wait until they're ready, right? A lot of people say, well, I'm not ready. You know, I want remote work, but like not for another year. So I'm just going to wait. And either of these things are mistakes, because the idea here is that you really want to get yourself in a position where you can step into something that works for you and feel very confident about it, know what you want, be able to negotiate your salary or your prices, be able to say yes or no to the jobs that you want or don't want. And planning is the key to doing all of that. Now, the results, if you don't plan enough, are things like you don't know what type of remote work is possible. This happens a lot where people just, they're really only looking at some jobs, or they really just don't understand what's out there. So they really don't know what's possible. Or the next one that I already mentioned is they'll just listen to anybody who has an idea. And then those ideas get weird. sometimes people give you ideas that just have no relationship to who you are, right? They're like, oh, be a traveling nurse when you've never done nursing, or sell stuff on eBay, or, you know, these are just things that have been around a while that are go-to answers that people say. And so when you get supplied with limited ideas or ideas that don't work for you, then you think that's all that's out there, right? But the other thing is, when you don't plan enough, then you may end up taking work you don't like, or you don't get paid what you want and you need. And that's really the number one thing, right? Is people find themselves kind of in a pickle where they need a job, they didn't plan, and they have to sort of just take whatever they can. And that leaves them feeling like, well, now I have to take another job I don't like and get paid less money too. So I really want people to not be in that position. So I bring up this fictitious character who I call Aaron the Explorer. If you've been to one of my other trainings, that you might have seen Aaron, or she might be new to you, but I talk about her in a new way in this particular class. So it's different. And I talk about how Aaron the Explorer is always exploring ideas, but just kind of running into dead ends. And this leaves her feeling stuck or discouraged or just like not qualified for anything. And so what I really wanted people to understand is, if they feel like Aaron, which most people do, that it's not your fault. Like, if you feel like that, I want you to know it's not your fault. There are just some things that potentially you don't know about. And so then I spend the next several minutes in the training telling people what they need to know about, all related to the key of planning. So that's what I'm going to do now. And then I'll wrap up this particular segment. And then next week, we'll get into the second key. So as I move into what people don't know, the first thing I talk about is that most people don't know what their skills are actually worth. And the reason for that is, a lot of people start their careers by sort of falling into a career, right? Like, how many people do you know go to school and get the exact job that they went to school for, right? This is like, that's not really that common anymore, or was even. So what happens is, if this is you, if you kind of just landed in jobs, you kind of just spent your time in jobs, or even a business, let's say you started a business a long time ago and you set your pricing at a certain rate. And if you started looking at all your competitors and they're all cheaper than you, then you kind of lose track of like, what are your skills actually worth? Like, on the open market, what would someone pay you for them? What value do your skills have? Do they help people do something specific? Are they skills that somebody needs that they're willing to pay a certain amount for? And just, people don't really think about this. They just think about like, oh, I get a salary, or oh, my employer is giving me my meager 2% raise every year, if that, right? So I talk about a real client of mine named Kathy. Kathy came into remote work, gosh, I think about remote work school, I mean, about maybe 2 years ago. She came in 2020 because she was a flight attendant. And in 2020, she was, quote, encouraged to retire, unquote. And we all know what encouraged to retire means. It means that you were aged out of the workforce, right? And of course, this was during COVID too, and the airline industry was hit pretty hard. So when that happened to her, she had no idea what else she could do or who would want her. She literally used the words, who would want me? And she really strongly identified with being a flight attendant. And so it just never occurred to her, like, well, what else could she really do? So inside of remote work school, actually, let me back up. So why does this happen? Why did this happen to Kathy? Why does this happen to so many people I work with? Why does this happen to Aaron the Explorer? Well, if you grew up in a certain generation or a certain type of household, you may have heard messages like, don't toot your own horn, or you really shouldn't brag about yourself because that's, you know, unseemly, I think is the word. What a weird word. Anyway, I never use that word. Why would I use it today? Or my skills are nothing special. I'm just kind of average, or it's better to be seen, not heard. You know, all these weird messages that get put into our heads that then as we grow up translate to, well, we don't want to brag about ourselves. You know, we don't want to make a resume or talk about ourselves in an interview where we feel like we're bragging, which is insane, because if there's any place that you are supposed to brag about yourself, it's in a job interview, on an interview, in a cover letter, or on LinkedIn. Like, That's where you need to do it if you're going to do it, right? The other thing that people do, and this definitely is generational, is people think about, well, I don't have enough education. Education is a really big deal for a lot of people who I would say were born, you know, before the 80s, because education was such a huge component of the American psyche. Oh, here's my psychology degree coming up, right? Where your value was always determined through how much education you had or what degree you held. And I have to tell you, this generation, like after Generation X, when you get into the millennial generation and Gen Zero and all of that, they don't do that. They don't place as much value on education because they know that they can learn just about anything on YouTube and Google. They are self-taught. They don't feel, plus they're going to go into debt. Like a lot of people just can't afford education anymore. And so they're looking for other avenues. And so here's the good news about all of this is that employers are starting to loosen up a little bit on the education piece. I digress. This is not what I wanted to talk about, but it's just kind of what's coming up for me. So back to Kathy. So Kathy had these same issues. And I'm telling you, when you have those types of barriers, you're not advocating for yourself. You're not asking for promotions or raises. You're not going after jobs or clients that you want. You're not charging the prices you should be charging. And you're leaving money and opportunities on the table. So what Kathy did and what I have a lot of people do is what's called a skills inventory. And that's where I started this class, was with that very small skills inventory. And then I talk about what a skills inventory is and how you do one. And I talk about how it's really helpful to do it, whether you're going to work for someone else or yourself, whether you're going to get a traditional job or whether you're going to take on clients, start your own business, that you always have to go back to a skills inventory because it's going to be an objective way for you to see what you're capable of. And then I asked people in the chat how many of them have done a skills inventory. And I'm telling you, like 8 out of 10 people have never done one, which I find shocking because I did them like right out of college or in school or in different jobs. But I think either people forget or they just never did one. And so it's really important that you do them. This is what Kathy did. And Kathy realized that she could become a financial coach, which was shocking to her. It was absolutely shocking to her that she had the skills to do it. Now, why did she have the skills to do it? Well, she got herself out of debt. And then she realized that she had the experience to do it for herself, so she could probably do it for other people. So instead of going all the way back to school and getting a four-year degree, Kathy just took a certification program, used that along with her skills, a very short certification program, by the way, and she was able to see how her transferable skills could transition her into this other career choice. And she wrote that she realized she had so much more value, that her skills had so much more value than she could ever see, and how huge that was in boosting her confidence and leading her into a new career. So I absolutely love Kathy's story. I'm going to tell more stories in future episodes, but again, I'm trying to keep this one to just the key of planning. So just a couple other things and then we'll wrap up. A couple other things you might not know related to planning is that you need a remote work resume. And if you haven't updated your resume in a really long time, my hunch is you don't have one. And even if you have, if you don't have specific things on your resume, like keywords to optimize your resume, if you're not designing your resume to be customized enough to each job that you apply to or each client that you want to attract, because even if you're in business for yourself, some clients may still want to see your resume, or they might want to see your skills, or they might want to see your portfolio. If you don't have enough customization, then you just haven't planned enough, right? So that's another thing that I brought up. Then I brought up that you have to be on LinkedIn. It's like non-negotiable these days that you need to be on LinkedIn if you are looking for a job or clients. Because if you're not, then what's happening is you're probably discrediting yourself to potential employers and clients. Most people these days are going to, the first thing they're going to do after they get to know who you are is they're going to go look you up on LinkedIn. They're going to look you up on LinkedIn before they ever look you up anywhere else. With the exception of, I will say, if you're in business for yourself, let's say you're like a coach or a consultant, they might go to Instagram. That may be the other place they go. Are they going to go to your Facebook page? No. And that might be shocking for people listening, because I tell you, so many people say to me when I say, well, are you on LinkedIn? Do you have an Instagram? They're like, no, but I have a Facebook page. Nobody's really looking you up on Facebook anymore. Not really. And even if they do, they won't, because Instagram, TikTok, by the way, is growing by leaps and bounds. But at a minimum, LinkedIn and Instagram are really the top two. I could sit here, we could debate social media all day long, but I'm not here to do that. Just trust me on this, okay? So you have to have your LinkedIn profile updated enough. Now, I want you to hear this word, because it's a really important word. It comes from psychology, and it is the word enough. There is a concept called the good enough mother. I can't remember which psychology guru came up with this. I doubt that it's Freud. I don't know. Maybe it is. But the good enough mother goes like this. You know, a lot of mothers are always beating themselves up and saying, I'm just not good enough. I'm not the best mother. I always feel like I'm failing. And there's a lot of psychology that says, look, if you're a good enough mother, your kid is going to be fine. And so I love the good enough concept as it relates to a lot of things. The good enough LinkedIn profile, the good enough resume, the good enough business plan, the good enough XYZ. You just have to be good enough. We're not talking about perfect. I'm not talking about being the most amazing person in your niche. I'm not talking about being the most perfect business person, whatever, XYZ. You just have to be good enough, right? And so on everything I'm talking about, whether it's a resume, a LinkedIn profile, a cover letter, your skills, you got to be good enough to get the job, the client, the opportunity that you want. So I talk about LinkedIn. And then the last thing I talked about related to planning is that most people are just looking in the wrong places for jobs or clients. Most people think that the place to find these opportunities is on online job platforms. I'm not going to name them because there's over 50, but I'm sure you're familiar with the top ones. And here's the reality. Only 20% of the jobs that you could be qualified for are you going to find on those platforms. 20% of the 100% of jobs and clients that are out there will you only ever find on a platform, on a traditional job platform. What does that mean? That means that jobs and clients are found in so many other places. The hidden job market, your immediate network, by networking in different groups online, by connecting with people in direct messages, so many other ways to find opportunities. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Almost everyone that comes into remote work school who keeps me posted on their progress, because not everyone will, I would say about 8 out of 10 people find their opportunities by not looking on an online job platform. They're either getting my help because I put them in direct contact with clients or opportunities, or they get a help from a friend or some other colleague, or they were networking in some kind of a Facebook group. They're doing it very organically. And so if you're someone who's only on an online job platform, you're only hearing crickets, then a couple of things. Number one, your resume simply might not be optimized. Number two, you might not be on LinkedIn. So then somebody goes and looks you up on LinkedIn, you're not there, or your profile isn't updated. Or number three, you're only looking on online job platforms and you're just not seeing enough jobs or clients. And so ultimately, that wraps up the first key, because the first key is around planning. And it's really hard to plan when you don't even know what the heck it is you're planning for. That's why I wanted to lay out all of these things in this particular key. Now, let me leave you with this one little activity, and this will set us up for what we're going to do in part two of this three-part series. So let's build on the skills inventory that you started. So if you wrote something down at the beginning of this episode, or maybe you're driving in a car and you thought about it, now I want you to continue building on that skills list. I want you to think about 2 to 3 skills you have, maybe even 10, maybe more. And maybe you've listened to other episodes and you've done skills inventories, but I want you to push it even further. I want you to just go crazy with it and come up with as many possible skills as you can. Now, if you can't think of any, if you're only like, I got 3 skills, I don't know what else, then here's the next thing I want you to do. I want you to think about all the different tasks and activities you've done for the last, say, 3 to 4 days. And again, I don't care if they're work-related. Did you go shopping? Did you order something online? Did you spend time with a family member? Did you go on vacation? Did you drive a car? Did you log on and watch YouTube videos? Like whatever it is, just write it down. And then what I want you to do is I want you to look at each one of those things and I want you to pull at least one skill out of it. So if you logged on to YouTube and watched videos, then I want you to write the skill down of being able to log on to the computer and being able to log on to different programs. Yeah, believe it or not, that's a skill. I know it might sound basic to you, but this is the stuff that you can build on as you continue to progress with these activities. So that's it. I'm going to wrap up part one, which is all around planning. So in part two, I will talk about preparing. And in the preparing key, I'm going to go even deeper on resumes. I'll go deeper on LinkedIn. And then I can't remember what else. Oh, and then I talk about some examples, some real world case studies of people and what they did when they did their preparation step. And then in part three, I'll talk about my favorite one, which is pricing. And that one I get really excited about because I get to show you how you can take the skill sets you already have and leverage them into multiple income streams, all related from work that you do. Not income streams that come from real estate or savings or investments, income streams that come directly from the work that you produce, but not by making you work more hours. All right, I hope you enjoyed this. I'll see you real soon for part two.